Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Good afternoon. It's finally Friday here, and this is Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick. And I seem to have lost my co-host today. Hopefully he'll call in a little bit later on. We've got ourselves a great lineup. We've got another candidate for the Senate challenging our South Carolina rhino, Lindsey Graham, for his senatorial seat in 2014. And we will later on, about quarter after the hour, talk to Mr. Nobel Blitzo. He's a veterinarian doctor, and he refuses to take any campaign finance. So he's running as a petition candidate, so he doesn't take a single dime from special interest groups. So we'll be talking to him at quarter after the hour. Want to welcome you all aboard and remind you that we are up on Spreaker, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, and you can find us all over the internet, YFrog. We also have a brand new website called southernsense.webs.com. There's a link to it in our chat room, and you can also go to our show page here on Blog Talk Radio and find a link there. So we welcome you to check out our brand new website. It has all the links to the past shows. If you want to go back and listen to a past show, you can. All right. For those that listen to our show faithfully, know that we start off each and every show with a dedication to a fallen hero. And today's dedication is going to go out to Army Corporal Glendon Moyer, 18, of Leroy, Virginia. He was reported missing and believed killed in action in Korea. His remains have been identified and were returned to his family for burial almost 63 years later. So the show is dedicated to him. This is from Stars and Stripes. The remains of a soldier who went missing during the Korean War have been identified and are returned to his family for burial. Army Corporal Glendon Moore, 18, of Luray, Virginia, was buried this past Thursday with full military honors in his hometown, according to a statement by the Department of Defense POW Missing Personnel Office. Moyer was reported missing on December 2, 1950, after he and the 31st Regimental Combat Team, known historically as Task Force Faith, began fighting withdrawal from along the east coast of the Chosun Reservoir to a more defensible position to the south near Haraguligi. Between 1991 and 1994, North Korean officials turned over 208 boxes believed to contain the remains of some 200 to 400 U.S. service members. Supporting documentation turned over with the remains indicated that some were recovered from the area where Moyer was last seen. Scientists from the Joint POW-MIA Accounting Command and the Armed Forces DNA Identification Laboratory used circumstantial evidence, dental comparisons, and mitochondrial DNA, which matched Moyer's sister and brother, to positively identify the remains. More than 7,900 Americans remain unaccounted for from the Korean War. And this was in Associated Press, Page County. A Lorraine Beret veteran is now back home after being missing in action for more than 60 years. His family members held a graveside memorial service for him. I guess you might say that I am still in shock because it's so hard to believe, said Anna Lou Moyer, the sister of Glendon Moyer. Anna Lou Moyer was 8 years old when her brother Glendon Moyer went into the Army. By the time she was about 10 years old, she found out her brother was missing in action. He was a very young and energetic and wanted to make the military his life, but it was cut short, said Carol Moyer, the brother of Glendon Moyer. The Army called me about 10 years ago, and they updated me on Glendon, said Anna Lou Moyer. It was a phone call her parents were hoping to get for many years. As the years went on, my mom and dad both passed away, said Anna Lou Moyer. They never knew what happened to their son. Anna Lou Moyer and Carol Moyer both laid their brother to rest. The Army, United States Army, matched their DNA to their brother's. Every day and every night, you hope that you would see your brother again. You hope that Glendon would come home, that they would finally notify us, let us know what happened. They never did until today, said Carol Moyer. Members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the VFW, Luray Post 621, were also at the Graveside Memorial Service, honoring the Luray veteran who was finally found. This show is dedicated to these brave men and women, to all the men and women who have fought for our freedom and liberty, who have fought, who are fought, fighting, and who will fight in the future. God bless them all. May they come home safely, but most important, may they come home. We dedicate this song to them. My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon. You can find them up on YouTube and download them for free.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get strong. others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. For those who need me, I'll always be here. For those who will harm me, I'll face without fear. But I'll
Herrington, my name is America. You can find that song that you can upload for free at toddallen.com as well as on YouTube. I want to welcome aboard my co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey. I swear you did this to me just to see me have a heart attack.
I apologize, Annie. No, out of nowhere, just something came up, and I think Jermaine and Sarge are actually going to join us. But I could not get a hold of you. I was in an area where my cell phone wasn't working, so I only had access to the internet. But anyway, here I am, and as always, that's a great song. It was a great dedication. It's great to be back. And now the business at hand. Campaigning is done, at least the election for this cycle is gone. So I'm good to be back. I really missed you, and I missed the show.
Yeah, and now out of the four candidates that you were campaigning for this past week, 2-1 and 2 lost, correct?
Correct. The one who I was involved very, very heavy as far as managing. There were four total campaigns. Three are very close to me as far as friendship, and they're fellow conservatives. Some are Democrats, some are Republicans, but they're fiscally sound with money. Now, one of them was running against somebody who, I'll tell you, Annie, she would make Pelosi and Obama look like conservatives. This woman is just completely out to lunch. She ran against seven people. She came in first by 44%. She killed everyone. But yes, the 2-2, the person I am very close to, who I was directing, part of the director of the campaign, she won huge. She won so large that there will be no runoff in November. She's automatically in. While the other one, he is the current standing mayor of Lansing, Michigan. Virgil Bonero is his name. He will have a runoff. But Virg got 61% in the primary, so he's pretty much going to be in. And it's great. It was good to be part of their campaigns. I volunteered, and I spent a day working for all of them. Tom Barrow, who we had on the show, I worked a little bit for him. Sadly, he didn't really even come close. He did better last election, but so be it. That's the way it is, and it is kind of neat. One of the neat things about being involved in campaigns, you see things that you don't normally see from an outside perspective. You see the game plans and the settings. It's kind of neat.
All right. Well, we were waiting for our main guest to call in. That is Noble Bill Bledsoe. But in the interim, do you remember past week, about a week ago, I told you that I came across this fantastic app and webpage called Lose Lindsay. When I was doing all my research on the candidates and everything, I think someone sent me the link up on Facebook. But there's young kid, and he's a baby-faced kid. And he's on the phone right now listening in as I tease him. He made this app. The telephone app needs some work, I think. But the webpage itself is fantastic. So if anyone wants to help support Lindsey Graham Losing, check it out. I want to welcome aboard the creator of this, Joshua Cook. He is also a reporter and writer for the Greenville Post here in South Carolina. Good afternoon, Joshua. Joshua, are you with us? Okay,
yes. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. The website. So the app basically links to the feeds on the website, loselindseygraham.com. You can download the app, the Android app, on the website. And, there are like over 100 leaders in the grassroots throughout the state that came together for the one purpose of finding a way to replace Lindsey Graham. So that's kind of the concept behind the website and the app.
Yes. Now, like I said, I thought the phone app would be a little bit more interactive, and I found it a little difficult at times to find stuff. But when I went on to the web page, I found everything I wanted. And
right. As
you spoke with me earlier this morning, and we have been doing a series called the Send Lindsay Packing, where we've interviewed each of the candidates running in the primary against him. And as more join the race, we will be grabbing them and pulling them in. But what is your view on the four candidates that are now out there?
Well, I had an opportunity to interview a lot of them. Most recently, he's not a candidate because he's on, he is basically at Fort Dix. His name is Lieutenant Colonel Bill Connor. And I asked him, there were rumors out there that he was thinking about running. I asked him a couple of questions about his view on conservatism, about the Constitution. And, he's out there fighting for our freedom. I mean, this is a war hero that won the Bronze Medal and for bravery for fighting in Afghanistan. And it seems like there's a lot of media that's criticizing him in my interview. I know FitzNews.com ran a negative article. I hope it's not going to get him, and it seems like they were attacking him for speaking with me. And it seems like I hope they weren't trying to damage his career, but it seems like the establishment really finds him to be a threat, and that's why they're attacking him like that. But, I thought his interview was great, and you can find that interview, I write for BenSwan.com. So, real excited. I think he is a good chance that he's going to run as soon as he gets back from Fort Dix. And also, I know that Senator Lee Bright as well, I know he was speaking to a 912 group down at the Lowcountry. And it seems like he did a great job answering the questions down there. So, there's a lot of excitement for Lee Bright. I really think that he is, the thing is with him, he has a voting record. I mean, he's been fighting the establishment and even Republicans, that don't follow the platform. I mean, he's been fighting for conservatives, for the Constitution, for defending Second Amendment rights. He's been against corporate welfare. I mean, he's the real deal. And Richard Kane, I had a chance to interview him as well. I loved his answers. I thought he was up front for me. He's just really smart, really, really bright guy. And I really enjoyed his his answers. He's a constitutional conservative, no doubt about it. But I really got a deep sense of his faith as well. He's a really committed Christian, believes in pro-life issues. I think he did a great job. And earlier, I was able to interview Nancy Mace as well. And I know she's getting a lot of criticism in the media right now. I know Glenn Beck on The Blaze wrote an article criticizing her, saying that, you know, she's, they don't know if she's ready for the prime time. And it actually spoke with her last night. And she said, you know what, she's not going to let any type of criticism slow her down. She's committed. She was able to raise $55,000 in the last 5 days for a campaign. She's getting support throughout the nation, and she's going to continue to fight. She really believes in this race. She believes that, you know, the grassroots in South Carolina must defeat Lindsey Graham. So that's basically, you know, my take on the four candidates. Of course, the grassroots throughout the state are going to continue to vet them to see who's going to be the strongest candidate.
Yeah, I've been meaning to try to call Joe Dugan because, you know, he's with the South Carolina Tea Party Coalition. That's his baby. But I was part of that vetting process where we vetted the other candidates for the House seat, and I'm sure that, you know, he's going to reach out and have us come up and do that again. I mean, I had a blast doing that, too. And I'm sure, because the sense I get from all the Tea Parties, every one of these conservative groups out there is we're going to actively work to get someone else in there outside of Lindsey Graham. And I think we are all doing that. People are becoming fired up. And one thing I have to do is I have a funeral I have to go to next week, but once I get back, I'm going to get my Tea Party group and start getting ourselves back into monthly meetings and have the candidates, each one, come down and address the group so the group can understand what they are voting for. You know, when you have a person standing directly in front of you and you're listening to them talk and you're watching how they behave, that makes up a lot of people's minds. They may be reading news articles or catching a little something blurb on the radio or TV, but that doesn't define the person that they're actually putting their lives in. Yeah, they're actually trusting these individuals with their lives when you consider how overreaching government has become, especially with Obamacare and all the other baloney that they've been hurling at us. You know, our daily lives are now in these people's hands, and we have to make an informed and intelligent decision. And this is an extremely important race.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction for you. There is such an emotional outpouring. Now, I'm from Greenville County, and we presented a resolution at our Republican Party Executive Committee meeting. I wrote an article about that on BenSwan.com. It's went viral. I mean, it's like over 20,000 views in one day. When we presented the resolution to replace Lindsey Graham, now we didn't vote on it, we just presented it. There were 200 people there. It erupted in applause for that resolution. It's basically 29 points of where Lindsey Graham has not voted like a Republican should, according to the platform. And many of those points, he sided actually with Democrats on a lot of those issues. This is not a Jim DeMint type of conservative. And what I predict is that you're going to see a lot of counties throughout the state introduce the same resolutions. I think there's going to be a lot of counties that's going to come out and censure Lindsey Graham, which I think that just shows that a lot of people are just tired of Republicans, not being held accountable to their conservative platform.
Yeah, I used actually that petition on a couple of shows when I was doing the interview of the candidates, because I'm saying these are great, excellent talking points. And if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, go to loselindsey.com and pull up that petition. I mean, it's several pages long, but it actually does detail the biggest sins that Lindsey Graham has against his constituents. And a couple of friends of mine that run the Bluffton Tea Party joined some others where they actually sat down and met Lindsey Graham head to head. I think Diane Bellison was in with them also on that one. And what shocked each one of them, these are from 9-12 groups, Tea Parties, other conservative groups. It wasn't just Tea Party. You know, this is the core of the conservative party. And he told them to their face, I'm not going to vote the way you tell me how to vote. I'm going to vote the way I feel is the best for South Carolina.
Right.
And that
right.
floored us. Absolutely. When she told me that, I said, he said, what? That, you know, it doesn't matter what we think. You can have 100% of the people that voted for you tell him, do not vote on this immigration reform. And he will still go against the voters because he is so arrogant. He thinks he knows better than anyone else. And that is why he's got to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, and what's ironic is he continues to say that he's a Reagan conservative. And I've asked all the candidates similar questions is, look, you know, would Reagan vote for Internet tax? You know, would he vote for a tax on the American people? Would he on the judiciary, would he approve judicial activists, radical activists like Sotomayor and Kagan? You know, here's a person who said that, you know, that he's pro-life, you know, that he's for traditional marriage, but yet he gave his approval for Sotomayor and Kagan, these radical justices. And what look at what we have now with the Domer ruling, and you know, and now we have, you know, 40 years of abortion off demand with Roe v. Wade. You know, there's consequences of those choices, and I think a lot of people, you know, waking up throughout South Carolina, they're tired. They thirst for someone that's going to stand up for principles, that's going to stand up for the Constitution. You know, and that's what they hunger for. And really, I think South Carolina can really be a microcosm for the rest of the nation, because I think there's other more moderate Republicans. They're being challenged right now throughout the country, and I think what you're going to see. Are those moderate Republicans being replaced by folks like the Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul? I think there's a movement throughout the nation. We hunger for freedom. We want to change. And when you side with Democrats that much, you know, it's just, you have to ask yourself, you know, is this person really a Republican?
Yeah, it's funny because I got into a pissing contest with someone up on Facebook just the other day, and she kept on saying, oh, why are you talking against Graham? He compromises with the other side. And the problem with that, I told her, is, oh, yes, he compromises. But the problem is we're always giving, 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 and we're getting nothing, absolutely nothing back in return. And that's not compromise. That's surrender.
Right.
When is the last time that the Fab Four on the Supreme Court compromised? You never see them divided. You never see the four on the Supreme Court divided. They all vote the same, always. And at times they will side with it'll be a majority or something, but you never see them split. That's the same thing. It's just the Republicans, and especially the Rhinos, have surrendered our liberties and our sovereignty to basically the same situation that took place in 1776.
Yeah.
Almost virtually the same. Quick question for our guests. How did you get involved in this? I mean, this is really cool.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I've always been interested in politics. I was raised in the Midlands of South Carolina. That's why I have this accent. So I've always voted Republican. It's really interesting. It's, you know, for a long time, I always thought that, you know, the Republicans were the good guys, Democrats were bad guys. But 6 months ago, I really, really realized that, you know what, it's really not so much about that. It's really about those people that are in power and those people that are like middle class like me seeing my rights being taken away time and time again. And I started thinking, well, you know, some of these Republicans, man, they sound just like Democrats. And I said, this is not right. Someone needs to speak out. And, you know, 6 months ago, I really woke up when they started talking about when you had Dianne Feinstein talk about banning and confiscating our guns. And then I was thinking, because I always knew that Obama was a socialist. I always understood that. And I knew we were heading in the wrong direction. But when they started talking about banning our, you know, taking away our Second Amendment rights, I'm like, whoa. I was telling my wife, whoa, I need to wake up. And I need to do something. I need to speak out. So one of the big issues is the media. It's state controlled. I mean, it's unbelievable the mind control that this nation is under. And that's why I started the GreenvillePost.com, and that's why I started writing for Ben Swan, BenSwan.com as well. I've been overwhelmed with the response, actually. These are two things. People really, really hate me. And those are the criticism normally comes to, you know, the establishment type of Republicans in the state. And those people that say, man, wow, I finally have a voice. I totally agree with what you're saying and keep up the good work. And I have a third voice. That's my wife, which hates what I'm doing because it takes away time from family. It really does. There's a sacrifice you have to put into this. But I tell you what really gets me excited is to see the activists throughout the state, the conservative activists that are awake, really make a difference, really make a change. I actually see it happening. And you know what, that really encourages me, because if we can recruit more people and wake more people up, we can take this nation back. And that's what you know, when I wake up every morning, when I before I go to sleep, I say, you know what? God is calling people, standing the gap, and he wants people to wake up and sound the trumpet, because the bottom line, if we don't do something now, we're going to be a lost nation. So I'm encouraged. I'm excited that you guys are out there the real media, to be honest with you, speaking the truth. And that's very encouraging, and so I'm really excited about that. I'm definitely excited about that. But the thing is, as far as like the establishment, there's a mantra right now with the establishment on both parties, and that is unity. They always use the word unity. But my thing is, look, I don't want to be united. If unity means being united behind the status quo, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to be a reformer. I want people to be united by this reformation that we're trying to accomplish here, this revolution of taking our country back and going back to the Constitution.
Now, that you said a mouthful there, but before I end up saying anything else, we end up with another big long conversation. Let's bring on our other guest. I do believe he's on the line, Dr. Bill Bledsoe. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Hey, how are you? I hear Josh on there. Sorry, I had an emergency. I had no way to predict it, but got cleared up and got on the line. Josh is about as good as they come for people, so you got you a good person there to be interviewing.
Yeah, he's got a fantastic app for the phone called Lose Lindsay, and people can also find the website called loselindsay.com. You are running as a petition candidate against Lindsey Graham, and statistically, as I understand, only about 1% of a petition candidate will get any votes. People will not most of the time take the time to write in a name. They'll just go in and punch one of the buttons. What made you decide to run as a petition candidate and not as a registered candidate?
You're absolutely right on that. There's some problems. Right now we've got the Republican Party. If one of these contenders, which, I mean, there are some good people I fully behind, like exactly right. You know, he's got ironclad legislation. You don't have to doubt a word, you know, that he's going to thumb his nose at the bad guys up there in Washington. I mean, there are some really good people running on the Republican Party. And if they beat Lindsey Graham, then I will get no more than 1% of the vote. If Lindsey Graham, you know, right now he's got over $6 million donated by the people that really want to overthrow our country. He's got 6.2 million or 6.3. That's at a rate of 1.2 million a quarter. So he will end up close to $11 million to be able to throw at infomercials to buy the uninformed voter. And he's got a real good chance of beating anybody, no matter how many activists are out there. And so if that happens, I would think in the end, a petition candidate is our last hope. At that point, I really think I would have a chance of beating Lindsey Graham. So that's kind of the way the whole thing falls, is that right now, man, I am all for people like Lee Bright getting in there and beating Lindsey Graham, and I'm working for him and doing everything I can, but it may not happen.
Well, someone's going to have to beat him, that's for sure. And you can't keep on going with the status quo the way we've got it now. We've got another caller on the line. Let me see if I can bring this individual in up on the conversation. Area code 816, you're on the air live with Sudden Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Annie, I don't want to chat. I'm just listening.
Okay, Thomas. Okay, I'm just going to mute your mic. And if you go into the chat and let me know if you wanted to ask a question. Okay, Thomas?
All right.
Thomas is another.
I want to jump in real quick. I have a question for our guest, the Bull. You know, I called Annie. I saw the videos, and I was laughing. I said, I am so excited for this guest. Sir, Bill, why are so many people so spineless? Why the hell are we so chicken shit to stand up and to speak the way you do? To stand, you know, to just be so pissed off. It seems like we're so meek and just gutless. I mean, these people are our servants. What the hell is going on?
Okay, we had up at the Greenville Tea Party last night. We had three of us spoke, Nancy Mace, Richard Cash, and me. And they have to play by the rules, okay? Rules are you don't piss off people. Rules are, you know, you fit in and you try to please everybody and try to get everybody's votes. Well, me, I don't give a damn. I mean, I'm sorry, but it doesn't matter. I don't want your vote. I'm not going to accept your money. And I really don't care. So I'm able to speak what needs to be spoken. And the other thing about the difference between what I'm saying and what they're saying, they really wish they could say probably what I'm saying. But they've got a news blackout on me. In other words, I've announced at probably six different locations that, yes, I'm running. Nobody covers it. Okay? There's a news blackout. And that's the way the puppet masters that control our media handle petition candidates. You ignore them, and they're going to get 1% of the vote, and they're a done deal. And so no matter what I say, it is not going to be quoted on CNN tomorrow. So there's a news blackout on me. So I use that in my favor. I can say what needs to be said. And I can, I mean, at the speech last night, it was neat to watch the people's faces. Their mouths would drop open and they would, you know, just, it seemed like 20 people came up and said, well, thank you for finally saying what needed to be said. So, but it's because I've got nothing to lose. I'm not asking for your money. I'm not even really asking for your vote.
Now, Bill, you're a bit of a colorful character because I was reading that little bio you sent me and I was cracking up. At one point, you dressed up as Obama in an orange prison jumpsuit with chains and handed out war crime flyers at the Greenville Tea Party and other events. What prompted you to do that? And what did those flyers say?
What didn't prompt him to do that? It's a question.
No, that's true. I mean, that's a good way of asking it. massive number of war crimes are being committed, and people aren't awake. They don't know it. I've got a handout. I'll just read it. The terrorism and war crimes, and I've got Obama and Clinton's picture and Panetta and Dempsey and Petraeus and Alexander, and the list. Over 30,000 Libyan civilians were killed in 2011-12, including children. Over 30,000 Syrians, this was a year ago, killed in 2011-12, including children. 30,000 Afghanistan civilians killed, including children. These are war crimes. Killing civilians are war crimes. Over 1 million Iraqi civilians have been killed, including children. 3,500 civilians have been murdered with drones in Pakistan. 3,500. These are friggin' war crimes that we ought to be putting these people behind bars. Six U.S. citizens were, Obama gave the orders to murder six U.S. citizens with drones without a trial, without doing anything. I've got their names listed. It's just incredible. 30,000 civilians were tortured in Iraqi, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay prisons. These are war crimes. You do not torture a prisoner of war. Our CIA, these criminals in there, have run black ops prisons all over the world. I mean, it's just such horrible war crimes that they're committing just so that they can put Sharia law or Islamic law into countries, and then, gee, these puppet masters own the oil wells, and they can claim they own the citizens' property. Libya, well, let me finish reading this. Prisoners, down in Guantanamo Bay, we drown prisoners 3 times a day. One of them was drowned 180 drownings. 2,000 Al-Qaeda were armed and funded in Libya and Syria. I mean, Obama funded Al-Qaeda. The NATO funded Al-Qaeda. These are war crimes. These are illegal actions. Al-Qaeda were armed with surface-to-air missiles through Turkey. We are paying for surface-to-air missiles to hand to Al-Qaeda to take down our own jets. I mean, how crazy, how many crimes can they commit? The Mujahideen, anybody remember Clinton running around trying to find a home for her Mujahideen? Mujahideen are a terrorist organization, but Clinton made them a home and paid for them, funded them. Anybody remember the central bank in Libya? 2,000 Al-Qaeda troops on the ground, U.S. Air Force in there backing them up, killing 30,000 civilians in Libya, and we give 144 tons of gold in the central bank to the friggin' Al-Qaeda and these puppet masters. I mean, it's just crazy. Libyan water supply, that's the last thing on my list. We bombed the residential water supply for the entire country and destroyed it. If that's not a war crime, there is nothing that is. I mean, it's incredible the number of war crimes, and I really was pissed, and I couldn't get people to listen to me. I printed up this nice glossy flyer and had another patriot kind of give me a good price on printing it up. And then on the back of the flyer, I show them how, I mean, a simple state law, we can nullify these war crimes and bring our National Guard home. A simple state law. It's nullifiable. We can stop it here in the state if people will just friggin' wake up, realize we have criminals up in there committing crime after crime after crime, and start stopping it. So, we can do it. We can, but we've got to face the facts. And so I was pissed dressed up as Obama and got me a prison uniform and chains and put his head on. Actually, the one that I really liked the most that really pissed him off, I went to a meeting where the governor was speaking. And the Republicans were all in there here in Spartanburg. I dressed up as Obama and handed these flyers out. And, man, that angered them. They did not like that one bit. Boy, how dare you attack, you know, and talk about war crimes. So, anyway, well, just angry.
I don't know if you caught this latest article out in Town Hall. Mike Shedlock wrote it. And I looked at the headline and I says, no. And it cannot possibly be true. Headline reads, Army will not suspend contracts with Al-Qaeda-tied companies. Now, there's a Special Inspector General Afghanistan Reconstruction Report, which came out last month, called a SIGAR. And in it, they state that the Army has refused to act on SIGAR's recommendations to suspend or debar individuals who are supporters of the insurgency, including the Taliban, the Haqqani Network, and Al-Qaeda. Now, they had specifically asked for 43 contractors to be taken off of the list, I mean, to be rejected. Say, these contracts are rejected. And every last one of them, the Army refused. Every last one. They said, no, there's something that is called citing due process rights. Due process rights for enemy combatants in a different country handling U.S. contracts. Now, does this make sense?
That's just the tip of the iceberg. That's nothing. I mean, that's why are we giving Patriot missiles to Turkey and giving them our troops there? There are 57 Islamic dictators. Every one of the dictators in the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, and Egypt, every one of these Islamic dictators have done it so that they can claim they own the oil wells and the natural resources and steal whatever they want, like Hitler did. Every one of these dictators mandate that every citizen in their country, in Iraq, they mandate that every citizen must fight and kill Americans. Okay, it's mandated. It's a government mandate. In Afghanistan, it's a mandate that every citizen must fight and kill Americans. In Libya, it's a mandate. In every one of these Islamic countries, it is a government mandate that they must fight us. So they are declaring war on us, and we're sitting there pretending we're defending them. We're not defending anybody. We're giving these countries to the puppet masters. We're giving these countries to criminals to pick them up and take them at the cost of 60,000 U.S. soldiers either killed or wounded. 60,000 U.S. soldiers killed or wounded, and trillions of U.S. tax dollars, which are fake from the Federal Reserve Bank, which is again owned by these puppets. It's a fake bank. It's not real. They're counterfeiting. They're not putting out real money. But at trillions of dollars that our grandchildren are supposed to be paying back. I mean, it's incredible. The countries that have declared war on our soldiers. Killed 60,000 and wounded 60,000 soldiers. We're sitting there giving them money. We gave the jets to Egypt. Egypt has declared war on the United States. That's a declaration of war when you bring in Islamic law. But we're giving them jets. These are crimes. These are criminal politicians that are paid off by international groups. By puppet masters like George Soros. George Soros, you know, everybody, I hope everybody's seen the Glenn Beck expose on George Soros, like 6-part expose. George Soros worked for Hitler to confiscate property from fellow Jews on their way to the concentration camps. So, I mean, these are the criminals, and Americans are not prosecuting any of them. If I had given the order to murder six U.S. citizens and they got killed, I would have been in jail long ago. But our president, it's okay. He wants to talk about the constitutionality of it. When do the crimes stop? When do Americans start getting their spines back and start preventing this evil and realize we have a very criminal government? So
that is completely correct, because I don't know if anyone caught it in the news yesterday, but our lamesy, I'm going to call him lamesy, Graham, was over in Egypt lecturing, because now they have the army is backing the government and they're trying to get rid of the Sharia law that the Muslim Brotherhood did. So something is starting to good happen there. But this clash between the Muslim Brotherhood and the citizens that threw out Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood is still ongoing. And Lindsey Graham goes over there and lectures these generals and the heads of state that are now taking over the country to bring back freedom, that they must sit down and bring the Muslim Brotherhood to the table. And I was
Lindsey Graham does
this.
Not work for us. Lindsey Graham is, you know, in my mind, that's a traitor to our country. Anybody that's out there promoting Sharia law and the Muslim Brotherhood over a country that wants to be free of Islamic law, I mean, that's promoting an enemy of the United States. It's saying we need them in there. But it's deeper than that. Obama funded the Muslim Brotherhood $100 million to overthrow Egypt and get them into the Egyptian government in the first place. And then they did a vote, and the Egyptians said, no, this is not right. We did not vote in Sharia law. Well, you know who owns the voting machines over there? Madrid, Spain has the main voting machines. ES&S, and George Soros is a controlling owner.
That's what they did with Obama's election right there.
Absolutely.
Those same machines.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We discussed
in
that.
South
yes.
Carolina, we have the SkyTel. Well, they're owned by Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett gave $1 million to Obama's campaign, and our results are reported through Madrid, Spain, George Soros. Give me a friggin' break. When are people going to start getting mad?
Well, I hope
they're not. They're not, because they're clueless.
Yep, they are clueless. Well, that's where, you know, this was a blessing for me to be able to walk in and just go in as a petition candidate, because like talk shows, everybody now must give me the respect to listen to me because I'm running for Senate. I'm having a snowball's chance in hell of making it. But I have a platform to start getting people mad, to start waking people up.
Well, I'm just going to say one word and I'm going to let you go, because it sounds like I don't even have to ask the question. Gramnesty.
One of the ways to defeat the press, and, you know, it's owned by these puppet masters. George Soros controls the press. That's why we only get propaganda instead of press in mainline media. The way to defeat them, and George Soros pays trolls to get out on the internet and name call and call everybody crazy stuff and make it look like the world believes that way. The way to defeat them is to take complex issues and boil it down to three sentences. Anybody know who Sweet Brown is?
No.
Ah, man.
I don't.
You guys, what's that? Sweet Brown.
I've never heard of Sweet
Yeah,
Brown.
She got like, I forget what it is, like 30 million hits on YouTube. She was just interviewed. They had a house fire in her condominium or in her apartments. And in the middle of it, she just said, ain't nobody got time for that. And they turned it into a song. and it went to, I don't know how many. I haven't looked at it for a couple months. I'm trying to remember. It's something like 70 million views or something. But it's a wonderful song. Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. Well, Ain't Nobody Got Time for pages of information countering the propaganda. But if you can boil these topics down into three sentences, you can make a difference and beat the propaganda and the trolls. Gramnesty is granting 30 million known criminals a government paycheck and free medical care at the cost of $6 trillion in raised taxes that you and I are going to pay. One sentence, you can totally surmise, and you can destroy anybody that's trying to promote gramnesty.
Well, I'm looking at this, and you're saying if you were a sack of Graham's fictitious debt, which he claims is $16 trillion real dollars, all in one stack, the stack of real dollars would reach all the way to the moon and back.
Yeah, that came from Bill Chumley. He's the one that first came up with that, and I checked his math, and I couldn't believe it. He asked me to check his math, so I did it and did the same math and, you know, took a stack of $100 bills, and it measures about half an inch. And, yeah, it's absolutely right. So it's all counterfeiting. It's all fake. We have fractional reserve banking. There are only $9 trillion printed and circulating in the whole world. So how the hell did we borrow $16 trillion? We can't. It couldn't happen. It's physically impossible. How are they... how did they loan their banks over in Europe $16 trillion in Obama's first 4 months? They can't. It's physically impossible. There are only $9 trillion in the whole world. And that's where when Bill Chumley said that, just measure it and see, $16 trillion will reach all the way to the moon and back again, it kind of makes it realize how much counterfeiting they are doing. Counterfeiting means creating dollars that were not sanctioned by the federal government. So it's all counterfeiting. And we don't own the Federal Reserve. Enemies of the United States own the Federal Reserve Bank. Enemies of the United States own the FBI. I'm not the FBI, the IRS. Enemies of the United States own the IRS and the Federal Reserve. The IRS is owned and controlled by the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is not owned by Americans. It's not federal. So we have enemy countries counterfeiting over $1 trillion a year of U.S. dollars, and that's what Hitler did. Hitler counterfeited to bring the countries down. Hitler always followed the same plan. First, he took their civil rights. That's why I heard you guys talking about civil rights disappearing. Well, that's what Hitler did. He took away their civil rights so he could steal their property. Then Hitler collapsed their government with overspending. Gee, gramnesty. Gee, Obamacare. Overspending and counterfeiting. And that is the exact same thing going on here. In the end, Hitler just stole the property of 13 million people and had to dispose of their bodies. That's what it's all about, stealing the property of Americans. Who are these dictators? I mean, who are these people attacking us? Let's look at that. 150 dictators in the United Nations. They have the Agenda 21. Okay, let's steal their property with Agenda 21. They have fake global warming taxes. There is no global warming. When you study it, there hasn't been a slightest bit of global warming in well over 10 years. They have fake carbon taxes. Let's close down their coal mines. America can produce has the greatest amount of coal of any country in the world as a natural resource. But if we close that down, we're going to make Americans dependent on nuclear weapons on nuclear power. Who produces? Well, Afghanistan was overthrown because of their uranium mines. So the UN also has their fake gun grab. Again, taking our civil liberties, attacking us right and left. How about the 57 Islamic dictators? We talked about that. They've all declared war on us.
They want to steal our under Islamic law, they can take anything we own as spoils of war. That's what they want. That's all they want is Islamic law, and then they own it. How about George Soros? We talked about him. Puppet master. Yeah, he worked for Hitler. How about the Federal Reserve Bank itself? There are enemies lined up right and left destroying us. And if we don't wake Americans up and we don't start realizing that these politicians have been bought and start slapping them in the face and start being responsible for them, we've lost it. Main thing like about Lindsey Graham is Lindsey Graham was pretty much an unknown here in South Carolina. And when between 2004 and 2012, for the elections and the followthemoney.com, that's a good place to go look, start looking these people up. And the other one is fec.gov is the other way to follow who owns these politicians. Let me back up one second. All politicians are puppets. Either people, Americans, animate the puppets and take control and call them and demand that they follow and do what's best for Americans, or if we don't take responsibility, enemy countries will. Okay? And that's what's happening. Enemy puppet masters. Well, George Soros is one of the best, well-known enemy puppet masters. Well, Lindsey Graham, when nobody really knew who he was and we weren't paying any attention and we weren't animating him, he was a puppet, he got $71,750 from Fund for America's Future. Now, George Soros is the number one contributor to the Campaign for America's Future and the Institute for America's Future. So George Soros is using the counterfeit money to fund Lindsey Graham. George Soros is just getting the money back from the Fed. They just say, oh, well, here it is. We just made it up. And so unlimited funds to fund the politicians, but it's because we were not responsible. We didn't get angry. We didn't get mad. We just let it happen. So it's time to get angry. It's time to, I guess the one point that I would ask of everybody is, it's time for you to enlist alongside me and fight alongside me to defend our country. The old saying, well, and it's really apropos here, if it's a war they want, then it's a war we'll give them. And you can't say they're not asking for war. Let the defense of our great country begin here and now. Let's start getting angry. Let's start defending our country. Let's start calling these senators. Let's start taking our country back. Excuse me, getting a frog in my throat. Let me just turn it over to you for a minute while I grab a little sip of water.
Okay. Well, you were saying taking the country back, and a lot of people are going to the social networks, doing things like I'm doing, you know, taking to the airwaves. And there was an instance in Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, where a decorated military veteran, a Marine, was arrested, placed in a mental institute for evaluation, and the judge determined that he should stay there for 30 days. Now, get this. No one made a complaint against him. He showed no violent tendency. He had no mental illness. But the reason was that someone took umbrage to what he was posting on his Facebook page because he was being critical of the local government. An official in the local government called this a psychiatrist long distance, a Michael Campbell they called, and long distance. And this psychiatrist read the post and helped get the warrant to arrest him and place him in a mental facility for 30 days simply because he was criticizing the local government for things that they were doing. Now, when people hear that, they say, oh, I'm afraid to stand up because maybe I'll be next, the next person arrested. And I swear sometimes my co-host and I look to see whether or not there's a black SUV pulling up our driveways when we do some of this stuff on air. But people are afraid. What do you tell people when they hear things like this?
I tell them, am I afraid? If they were to attack me through the IRS, which they own, or if they were to attack me, even in the papers, all they're doing is helping my cause. I mean, right now they've got a news blackout. They don't want my cause out there, just like Obama doesn't want the Snowden information, any of the information getting out there, because we're turning them into heroes. They don't want it. I have nothing to be afraid of. And the other thing to remember is that Obama's a puppet. He's controlled by these puppet masters. George Soros is one of them. Obama does what he's told. Well, Obama appointed all the heads of these different departments. Obama appointed the head of the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. Obama appointed the National Security Agency, or I should say it differently, enemy of the United States puppet masters appointed the head of the National Security Agency. Enemies of the United States appointed the head of Homeland Security. Enemies of the United States appointed the Attorney General. Enemies of the United States appointed the head of the Department of Defense. Enemies of the United States appointed the Secretary of State, Clinton and Kerry. These are puppet masters. And you know, the bottom line is that it's not the whole organization that's bad. It's the evil criminal heads. And they're the ones doing the crimes, amazing number of crimes. I was just looking down like a list of the crimes. The Obama ordered 6 U.S. citizens killed. Eric Holder sold guns to Mexican drug dealers. Obama sold arms and Stinger missiles to Al-Qaeda. If I would have done any of these, I would have been in jail long ago. Obama funded 2,000 Al-Qaeda in Libya. Secretary of State Clinton directed funds to the Mujahideen, the Al-Qaeda, and the Palestine Liberation Organization. Petraeus ran illegal black ops torture prisons all over the world, war crime and illegal. Panetta and Dempsey ordered our troops to fight alongside Al-Qaeda and told Congress that, well, you know, when it comes to a war, we don't answer to Congress. We answer to the United Nations dictators and NATO. They told Congress that. Panetta and Dempsey. I mean, it's just absurd how bold these criminals are getting with their crimes, and people will not stand up and won't say anything. But no, if they tried to attack me, it'd be their own destruction. They'd make a hero out of me. So, you know, we little guys that they want to just ignore are perfectly safe.
Well, unfortunately, this poor little guy wasn't exactly safe, and took him 30 days to get his freedom back. But now a judge is demanding that they explain why the heck they arrested him. Now, to your war crimes list, have you included Valerie Jarrett?
No. I mean,
because it's coming out now that she was actually, and I heard this shortly after the incident at Benghazi, but the mainstream media just hushed it over. But now it's starting to come to light in testimony before Congress that it was actually Valerie Jarrett that gave the stand down order on the Benghazi consulate that cost us 4 American lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I mean, that's, you know, it's very evil out there. These heads are very criminal.
How many are there?
Well, think about the networks. You know, you can tell these guys a couple of different ways. You can tell them by their contributions. I mean, Lindsey Graham screams he's a George Soros puppet, you know, just by his contributions. But if you look at it, you can watch them. When an attorney general says and a president says that they will not prosecute and uphold the law on illegal aliens, when an attorney general sells guns to Mexican drug dealers, you can spot them immediately. I mean, they're criminals. And so there aren't that awfully many. When I look at FBI, I 99% of the people are good, honest patriots. But you got some really evil people like Homeland Security up top. The IRS, my God, they're training with AK-47s. What is a somebody last night said, and I haven't checked into it, the IRS is registered as a Jamaican company. They're training with AK-47s, funded by the Department of Homeland Security. Janet Napolitano. I mean, these guys, absolute criminals. Americans, some of them are waking up. When Homeland Security was caught ordering 1.4 billion rounds of bullets, that is over four bullets for every man, woman, child, and baby in the United States. Now, why did Homeland Security order 1.4 billion bullets? Well, Americans, they looked at that and they said, well, we'll fix it. In January, February, beginning of this year, Americans bought over 1 billion bullets a month. Americans are waking up. They realize what's going on there, and they're not buying into it. 1 billion bullets a month because of what Homeland Security was doing. So, yeah, is there any reason to be afraid of Homeland Security? They're already being bought out, by the number of bullets will be, probably 1,000 to 1. They don't have a chance.
All right, I'm going to change the subject just a little bit here because this is something that's really dear to my heart. And Joshua, I want you to speak on this one too because you're a person of faith, deep faith. The attacks on Christianity, and you find it happening left and right with the attack on marriage. Several court cases went against religious institutions because they refused to perform same-sex marriages. The attacks of religious symbols. Basically, any attack on the Christian faith is fair play. But the moment you speak out against Islam, radical Islam, that you find yourself under attack. And how dare you speak out about that? How dare you? You shouldn't be doing that. It's not right. Oh, but it's okay to attack me. How can we stop these attacks?
Well,
Joshua, go on.
Do you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when you said that is a story that I'm about to break on the Common Core federal program that's been so controversial. And, I was at a hearing on Common Core yesterday, and, when you want to talk about indoctrination, how did every country, I mean, the thing is, my grandmother was German. She grew up in you want to talk about Nazi Germany. She was there, and she told me a story one time where she was talking about Christmas, celebrating Christmas, and the teachers at her school brought her into a room and told her, do not speak about Christmas. We're going to celebrate the Festival of Lights. And, one of the avenues is the education system. They're teaching our kids and now they want to take the power out from the state, from the local school, and they want to have a national curriculum through Common Core, and they want to control what's being taught. I mean, basically, if this is fully implemented, you will have no control over what is taught in our school systems. And what they want to do, and it's already happening, they're teaching that Christianity is bad, Islam is good, or any other type of philosophy. Or paganism, that's acceptable, but don't talk about Christianity. I mean, the thing is, this is actually happening right now, and it can happen in such subtleties. But sometimes, I mean, we're at the point now where it's just the progressive left, they're just bold. I mean, they're not being secretive about it. I mean, this is a big attack on traditional marriage and traditional family values, principles that made this country great.
Okay, Bill?
First they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for me, the Catholics. It's two different quotes here. But then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Catholic. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. That is what these enemy puppet masters are doing. They are pitting one religion against another to make their fall guy that they can call a terrorist and steal their property. I mean, you got to look at it from a distance. This is not just against Christians. I go to a lot of websites where they're trying to promote hatred towards the Muslims in the United States. You know, it's attacking one religion at a time. If somebody attacks a Muslim church, I will stand beside those Muslims and defend it. If somebody attacks a Christian church, I will stand beside the Christians and defend it. We've got to start defending our freedom of religion. They are trying to destroy it. That's Hitler's plan. That's how he killed 13 million. Pitted one religion and said, they are the new terrorists. And then he went on to the next religion. Well, now it's the Lutherans are the terrorists. I mean, that's how they steal the property and make their victims. So it's not just Christians. When you're the one being attacked, it seems like it's all just Christians. No, it's not. It's all religions. It's looking for the victim where they can call them a terrorist and put them behind bars and steal their property.
Well, that's why I differentiated and said radical Islam, because we do also have radical Christians that do some wacky things, like Westboro Baptist Church. So I was being specific about that. One of the things that actually had me, and my co-host knows that I do not keep my mouth shut. There's a recent book put out by Reza Aslan. He was a Muslim who became an evangelical Christian and then went back to Islam. And he wrote this new book called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth, where he ends up trying to prove that Christ was not divine. He was just another zealot that just wanted to overthrow ancient Rome. His facts were rehashed over from previous books that tried to debunk the belief of Christianity, the source of it. And I got angry when I read this. It was written by the editorial was written by Leonard Pitts, and he's a New York Times progressive liberal columnist up there. And my response to Pitts promoting this book, saying it's so great and it just tears apart Christianity, my point being is that they're trying to tear people away from religion completely, so then they are beholden only to the government, and then the government becomes their god. And my question then would be, how do we bring Christianity back, or the faith, whether or not it's Judaism, whether or not you're a Sheikh or a Hindu or whatever, get people to go back to their faiths and not rely on government so much?
Yeah, who do you want to give their opinion on that one?
Well, actually, I'm going to get my co-host first because he's awfully quiet back there.
Well, I think for right now, it starts with me. That's my famous saying. It starts with me. Every individual who is a Christian or a Muslim, number one is, I think we all need to come to a conclusion. The war's on all of us. It's really spare none. And the bottom line is, when we think, well, regardless of what happens, what Bill said makes sense. We all need to, number one, get together. Number two, go to the polls. Number three, we need poll watchers, because the elections are becoming so rigged right now. I had said something earlier. We saw a token white honky win the primary in Detroit, a Republican, who was a write-in candidate. That's not even possible. But, I mean, we must take these back. And it starts by us acknowledging almost exactly what Bill said. They're the enemy. This is what we need to do. And sadly enough, we have to come to a conclusion. It's not going to be done peaceful. These are people that have prepared for their move for years and years and years and decades and maybe even a century. And we have to come to a conclusion that if we are going to change it in the direction we want to, a new revolution is going to have to take place. How much of it, we don't know. But these people do not go just by simply losing a few elections at the ballot box. They've been preparing for a long time. They have a million backups to a million scenarios. They'll do whatever it takes. Go to the mirror and say, are you willing to do what it takes? That's my opinion, Annie.
All right, Joshua?
And Annie, I totally agree with that. And, you know, the thing is, it starts with leadership as well. And that's why we need a leader in the Senate. We have some good candidates. We definitely need to come together. And I will ask this. I know you guys talked about the IRS. It's actually spoke with Jeff Duncan that's been looking into the ammo purchases that broke the story on the IRS agents training with AR-15s. This is the problem. Why isn't there an investigation into this IRS? Not only that, but the Department of Education is buying massive rounds of ammo, buying assault shotguns. The Department of Education. You know, we're becoming a police state. And the question is, well, the IRS is refusing to answer any of Jeff Duncan's questions. And so the question is, why aren't we demanding an investigation into this? And number two, why isn't our senators doing anything about it? I mean, we need a leader who's gonna look out for us, that's going to demand us to return to the Constitution, that's going to defend our rights and hold this government accountable. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I'm tired of Furious. We got no answers on it. Benghazi, we're not getting any answers about it. NSA snooping, we're not getting any answers about it. I'm tired of all these scandals. No one's being held accountable. We have a lot of lip service for politicians, but nothing's getting done. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, I want to get things done. And, I have a little boy, he's 4 years old, okay? I don't want him to grow up in this brave new world, a police state, where the same type of country that my grandmother was in Berlin, hearing bombs being dropped on her because her people didn't stand up against a Hitler-type dictator. I refuse to go down. I refuse to stand silent. So, you know, I just think everybody needs to hear this broadcast today, because I'm inspired by everything that was said today, and that we just need to go out and get people. I think that's the first thing that we have to do.
All right, Bill, we've got 6 minutes left. I'll give you four of them.
And what's the question? I mean, I totally agree with everything that was said. I do not agree that it's time for war. I do not agree that it's time to take out guns. And I hope everything I do, I've got, 14 grandchildren. And I don't want it to see it come to arms. I would rather put these criminals behind bars. I would rather chant, protest, demand that our politicians start prosecuting criminals instead of playing these games. War fog is defined, it's what the game is. What was it? There was a, what's it called? on Obama on war crimes. They released a an investigation, I think 800 pages of war crimes on Obama. And they knew it was going to be released. It was going to be front page of the New York Times that day, that morning, the afternoon before. Gee, we happen to have Boston Marathon bombing. It's called war fog. It is to distract with the threat of terrorists. It's to distract. It's to allow the enemy to come in behind you and do what they were doing. It's war fog. There is so much of it out there. And the way you get around it, and here is, I always try to look at it from a distance. I want to see the whole picture. And the way you get around the war fog and look at it from a distance is if you realize who the enemy is, where the enemy is, who they are, then you can start seeing where they are doing their attacks, where they are taking our civil liberties, where they are pitting religions against each other. You can start seeing their attacks, but you got to look at it from a distance. And it's not that complex, and it's not that big. I mean, of course, they got to control voting. I heard George Soros admit that. Oh, we're doing something about the voting. In one of the Glenn Beck interviews. It's so many places that they're attacking. They're attacking with Islamic law, because that gives these enemy puppet masters ownership of everything, the gold, the everything there, the uranium mines, the oil wells, and all the possessions of the people as spoils of war. So they're attacking through Islamic law. You know, they're attacking by taking our civil rights. We must start demanding. I mean, that's why I strapped a gun on my shoulder. I walked all the way across Spartanburg, 6 miles, with a long gun strapped over my shoulder. I sat out at Westgate Mall, our mall on the corner, for about 3 hours, standing there with a long gun, just to show they are not taking my civil rights. But the whole attack, first you got to know the enemy, then you can start seeing where they're attacking, and then I want to see them behind bars. I don't want... wish I had it in front of me. President G.W. Bush, I could probably pull it up in a second, said if they knew, and I don't have the quote right, I'm not reading it, but if the people knew what we had done, they would chase us down the street and lynch us. Okay, I don't believe in lynchings, and I don't believe in war. I don't want Americans killing Americans. I believe in putting these criminals behind bars, demanding that our rule of law be brought back. I don't want to go to war. I don't want Americans killing Americans. I don't want my grandchildren having to worry who's going to be killing who.
All right, well, Bill, I completely agree with you. We're down to our final 2 minutes. I want to thank you, and I want to thank Joshua for being our guest. I had a blast. I actually had a blast. I love it when I can just sit back and listen and not do too much work. Now, Bill, your site is nobullbill.com, and Joshua, yours is loselindsay.com, correct?
It's loselindsaygraham.com.
Oh, loselindsaygraham. All right, I'll correct that, because I'm putting it up in the chat room. This show actually is going to be replayed this Sunday as a featured show on Blog Talk Radio. So it will be front page and highlighted, so people will see it and they can hit on it again. So you get two appearances for the price of one.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
And the bottom line, what you said, the most important thing, if this ain't fun, none of us are going to do it. I mean,
you know, just cool. A quick sign-off comment is, I think without going to the internet, just from the surface, you would think Bill is a complete whack job, just to show you exactly how it's portrayed. Had anyone listened to the show, you know, Bill, you are probably one of the smartest political guests we've had in the years we've been doing this show, as far as knowing the depth and the detail. But from your average, this is exactly how they do it. They're so good at everything they do. You know, this is like Star Wars. Nobody knows who the evil emperor is because they're all wearing masks. Thank you so much, both of you guys.
It was fun.
And it was. And I welcome you back anytime. Again, want to let our listeners know we will be back on Tuesday. I will be broadcasting from New York because I have to attend a funeral up there. Mike will be co-hosting from his usual location. Our guest is going to be Anne Bernhardt, and you do not want to miss her. So until then, I say good night, and God bless everyone. Be safe over the weekend. We love you all.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.